This is Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Scott Greenberg. If someone you love is recovering in a skilled nursing facility right now, there's a good chance nobody in that building can tell you exactly in real time how that facility is doing. Is it fully staffed today? Is it appropriate care on track? Our next guest built the system that answers those questions at scale and across an entire company.
Our guest, Landon Gibb, is Senior Vice President of Technology and Systems at PAX Group, a national post-acute care organization based in Salt Lake that operates hundreds of facilities across the country. Landon's company developed a proprietary dashboard that takes information normally separate and disconnected in different worlds, bringing it all together into one live platform. It's an infrastructure designed to identify problems in hours instead of weeks, and whether quality of care is something a company can actually measure instead of just claim. Landon Gibb, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, we here at Cool Science Radio try to provide information about technology that brings it kind of into real time for our listeners and makes it seem less like something that we don't know about, whether it's AI or just systems like you've developed, to learn about its practical applications. So hopefully we can understand the world better and even maybe apply it to our own lives. So let's talk about the practical aspects of what you have come up with in the PAX group.
Absolutely. So practical applications of what we built is it's going to be focused in on clinical outcomes and a lot of internal metrics that really any business could benefit from. These could be financial metrics, collections metrics, metrics related to census or occupancy. So just some of your traditional KPIs, but the things that we're most excited about are those metrics that really track and enhance outcomes when they're related to patient care.
Okay, so clinical outcomes, it makes you wonder if at, for example, a facility is, in the past, it's just been walking around a bit blindly, not knowing exactly how everything is coming together to know whether or not their patients are getting the best care they can get. Where did you see the gaps?
Yeah, and to clarify, PAX is a post-acute care provider, right? So it's post-acute is a space that really bridges the gap between an acute care hospital setting and the patient's home, right? So these are patients that are in a transition phase coming out of a major surgery at a hospital, and they're not quite ready to go home and care for themselves independently. So they get referred to a facility in the post-acute space, and in that facility we'll provide rehabilitation services, whether it's physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, or other services. It can also be wound care. And our goal for those patients is to just rehab them and get them ready so they can go home and take care of themselves successfully. And there are a number of metrics that we watch very, very closely. In fact, we obviously operate in a heavily regulated space. So CMS, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, they have a number of metrics that they watch very closely. In fact, they publish ratings nationally of every post-acute facility in the country. It's on a 5-star basis, and they've established metrics that they feel are very, very meaningful. And they're focused in on outcomes that you'd expect, right? So if you have a loved one in a nursing home, you probably don't want them to be at a nursing home where patients are experiencing bad outcomes. They're falling frequently, or they're developing pressure ulcers, or maybe a facility has a tendency to overutilize antipsychotic medications. So CMS is actually monitoring and tracking these outcomes very broadly across all nursing homes. And then they publish these ratings. You can go online, you can look up a nursing home in your community and see how they rank compared to their competition. And so those metrics that CMS is really focused in on, I think they actually did a pretty good job identifying those. And we tend to gravitate towards a handful of their metrics that we find most meaningful that produce really good outcomes at PACS. So,
Landon, I am curious. I mean, we're talking about these metrics in terms of measuring facility against facility, I guess. How does your dashboard grab the data for these metrics and make improvements in your own facilities?
Yeah, we've invested a lot of time and a lot of effort building out integrations from our EHR platform. In fact, it happens every hour on the hour. We actually get, you know, a SQL transaction log file that we pick up. We've developed some scripts and processes that pick up those files, restore them, and then transform them in a very secure way so that we can create dashboards that provide real-time analytics to our operators. So yeah, the key here is we're very, very focused on real-time data and analytics, right? We want our operators to have an edge so that they can identify opportunities and improve the kind of the care environment so that it results in really good outcomes. Whereas the CMS metrics, you know, they're great. They provide great feedback and they create really strong incentives long-term. But in many cases, there's a 12-month delay on that data.
You mentioned EHR, that's electronic health record, if I'm not mistaken. And you've got electronic health records, you've got staffing systems, you've got census data. You have all these systems that were really never built to share a common language. What was the single hardest piece of getting these all these different metrics to work together so that you could actually analyze them and provide real outcome and meaningful outcome for both your patients and your staff?
Yeah. I think one of the benefits of doing my job today is that most enterprise software is delivered with what we call REST API endpoints that are turnkey, right? So it has become much, much easier than it was, say, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, to integrate these systems. But today it's relatively straightforward. That said, is it easy to do so? No, I wouldn't say it's easy, especially when the number of connectors and integrations you're building adds up, right? We're managing dozens and dozens of integrations. So that by its very nature is difficult and complex to manage. But I would say that perhaps even more difficult is designing reports and dashboards that are meaningful for our operations team, for our frontline staff, and metrics that are actionable. It truly is an art, and we have a lot of data engineers and business intelligence analysts that are just really, really good at what they do. So I think it's a two-pronged approach. Number one, you have to build the integrations. You have to have the technical expertise to get the data transformed and ready for delivery, but then you have to design really meaningful reports that are actionable.
So with that in mind, Landon, I'm wondering about if you could give us an example of in a post-acute care facility where your system flagged something that was really meaningful, especially to the staff there that has to translate these metrics and, you know, something that may have slipped through the cracks before.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when we launched our first clinical dashboard, it was the kind of the first of its kind in our company. And we got a text from one of our regional leaders who was at one of our facilities in Northern California. And he just snapped a picture of their team, their clinical leadership and their facility administrator. And they had this clinical dashboard pulled up and, you know, they were analyzing the data collectively and they were taking action on that data. I want to say that specific dashboard was related to falls. Right? Very bad outcome in the skilled nursing facilities when a patient falls, right? Especially if there's a significant injury attached to that fall. So what we did is we developed a dashboard that not only identified like the times of day that patients were most susceptible to falls, but like other demographic information so that they could be alert and be aware of situations and scenarios where a fall would be most likely to occur.
That's great. So then it becomes kind of like a predictive tool as well, where you amass all this data and then it can kind of flag an instance that you might have a problem in the future or sounds like, you know, exactly what you were just describing.
Exactly right. Yep. There is a predictive component to it, absolutely. And I would say very broadly, like with AI enhancements occurring at the pace that they're occurring, we are just very excited about the future. So we've engaged with a software vendor that's a very close partner of ours. And you know, what that partner is doing is that they're developing a system that actually scrubs the entire health record for all of our patients, right? This would be, you know, nursing notes, physician orders, medication administration records, treatment administration records. And the intent of this AI agent would be to identify any conditions that exist that would indicate a decline within a patient. And then we could alert on it, get it right to the correct clinical leaders so that an intervention could take place.
I love that there's this predictive modeling portion to this, and I am even impressed in terms that you're integrating this AI system in. But of course, when we're talking about rolling a bunch of different data into a system, particularly if we're talking about patient data and systems data across all of your facilities or hundreds of facilities in different states, you know, I think kind of the thing that people worry about is HIPAA. How do we protect patient privacy when we're integrating all of this data and then on top of it, layering AI into it?
Yeah, that's at the core of everything that we do. It is such a big effort. We have an entire team devoted to cybersecurity and HIPAA compliance. And so any partner that we engage with right at the outset, we go through a very thorough vetting process with that prospective vendor. We have a responsibility to ourselves, number one, and to the public, since we're a publicly traded company, and to our patients to ensure that their data is protected. And so, yeah, we do a pretty solid job vetting our partners, vetting their security posture. There's a number of certifications that they can obtain or third-party attestations that we require, where an actual third party would come in and inspect independently their cybersecurity practices. We pretty much require that for every partner that we engage with. So.
So you're taking some steps to make sure that the data is protected, and it's great. But lately in the news, we've been hearing a lot about, well, AI can only take you so far, or predictive modeling can only take you so far. There's still a human element that needs to be integrated into pretty much any of these systems. When do your nurses or administration people, when do they get integrated in, and when is their judgment maybe taken at greater face value than possibly the data or the software you're using?
Yeah, I think so. Where AI really shines is, you know, it doesn't have the capacity constraints that a human has, right? There's only so much documentation that I can read through in a given hour or a day. Whereas AI, I mean, the capacity constraint is our compute nationally, right? Like, how much capacity do our data centers have? It's finite for sure, but it certainly exceeds human constraints. So I would say really one of the things that I've got to call out where PACS excels is that we have exceptional operators. And whenever we develop a metric or a report, we really do have buy-in from those operators right at the outset. So if it's something that we're going to deliver to them, they certainly care about it. And because they care about it, they transform the metrics right into action. And that's where the rubber hits the road.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Landon Gibb. He's a Senior Vice President of Technology and Systems at PACS Group. Landon, I said in the intro that you're a national company, but you're based in Salt Lake. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
How was that determination made to choose Salt Lake? I'm always curious.
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot. Yeah, we have 325 locations throughout the country, none of which are in Utah yet. So our corporate office is in Salt Lake City, and I think that has to do because two of our original founders had Utah roots, And so when they chose a home to build out kind of a back office, they chose their backyard. And it's been great. It's been a good location. So.
Now, there's quality of life here in Utah for certain. Yeah, we find a lot of national and even international companies are based right here in Park City, which typically means the CEO just wanted to live in Park City. But, can you blame them? So your title is Senior Vice President of Technology and Systems. I'm curious about what this all means in health tech or inside of a healthcare company. This feels to me like for people, especially young engineers who are coming into their careers, what is more attractive about working in healthcare? Is there truly, do you get this feeling of I'm doing good here in the world?
I think so. Absolutely. I mean, when you think about our industry, we really are caring for the most vulnerable population of patients imaginable, right? These are folks that, I mean, we kind of described it right at the outset, right? They're coming out of an acute care setting. They're not able to take care of themselves independently in their home. And so we have this obligation to really care for this patient population. And make sure that they're rehabbed and ready to go home and live an independent life. So we find a lot of meaning in supporting those operations. I think PACS has developed a culture, especially in our back office functions, people like myself who work in an area that doesn't directly impact patients, where we know and we recognize that anything that we can do to make our administrative staff their lives easier, or our nursing leadership staff, their lives easier, we're indirectly impacting and improving patient care. So it is a meaningful thing to us. Absolutely.
So, Landon, unfortunately, we have to wrap up the conversation. But before we go, I would love to get your take on maybe looking 5 years ahead. What do you think is the next capability that that you're really excited about adding to this system?
Oh, that's such a good question, and my answer is probably predictable. It's AI, right? The models in the last 2 years, the last 18 months have become so good, so exceptional. It's transforming my day-to-day work. I know a lot of my peers, it's transforming their work. And so our ability to spin up solutions is just getting better and better, right? AI is an exceptional code writer. It's exceptional at reading documents and replicating human judgment. And so I think that the ability to monitor activity and produce tools that improve outcomes, I think it's just going to get better and better.
I'm looking forward to the future. Landon Gibb, Senior Vice President of Technology and Systems at PAACS Group. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Cool Science Radio.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it.